The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin. Austin, Texas.
Well, welcome to Balanced Black Girl Podcast. My name is Les. I'm your host, and I appreciate you tapping in. So this podcast is all about the various different things that we're balancing in our lives, be it our wellness, our jobs, our friendships, our relationships. Sometimes relocations for some of us, like myself. If you've been listening to the show for a little bit, then you may know that I just moved to New York from the West Coast, which has been a really big change, but a really fun change. And something that I've loved about being here is that I've gotten to connect with some amazing people, including my two beautiful guests today. So please join me in welcoming Miss Chelsea Vaughn.
Hi.
And Miss Cachet Proudfoot.
Hey.
Welcome, ladies,
Thank
the hosts
you.
Of the On the Sidewalk podcast.
Thank you so much for having us. We're excited to be here.
So excited.
I'm so happy to have you here. First of all, to get to feature you two while on the sidewalk is like a new baby show, because I know within the next 5 minutes, it's going to absolutely blow up because it's such a good show. So I'm so happy to have you.
Yes, let's manifest it. You came to our little launch party, which
it was
so nice.
Yes. Okay, so there's so many things that I want to chat with you both about individually and together. First thing, because I am very fascinated by this world and know nothing about it, is that you both have had experiences in reality TV.
Yes.
Reality TV is crazy.
Facts.
Reality TV as Black women, absolutely crazy.
And traumatizing.
Sadly, unfortunately.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I would like to talk, especially because this is at its core a wellness show, like what wellness has looked like for you coming through that experience and how you navigated that on your respective shows.
Hmm. You want to start?
Sure. Mm. Well, I'll start with therapy because I did not have a therapist before I went on reality TV. And when I got back, I immediately ran to find one. So I feel like that's been like a really big source for me to help get over. It truly is traumatic, the trauma of being on the show and just like being thrown into the public eye. You know, no, that's not normal for anyone. That's nothing you can prepare for ever, having so many eyeballs on you. So I really needed to talk to somebody about that. And so therapy and then just like making sure I'm intentionally checking in with myself and taking care of myself as much as I can. That's kind of where I'm at with the wellness journey. What about you?
It was very hard for me because before I went on reality TV, I was, and now am because of the work that I did after the show, but the most confident person. Like I couldn't tell me shit, you know? And then I go on reality TV and dating as a Black woman on reality TV, going on these dating shows, it was just a lot of backhand compliments, not being picked or chosen or looked at or being beautiful because you're not this type of Black girl. And it was just very strange. And it was just like a hate towards Black women that I just wasn't used to. So it took a lot to get my confidence back, almost a year after reality TV. And I stupidly went on another show, even though it wasn't a love show, it was a fitness show, but it was still like, you're Black, but you're so skinny. And it's just like, I'm on a fitness show and I don't look like the way that I should look as a Black woman. So it was just a lot, you know, and then going on with a shaved head. But yeah, therapy was needed. I had to like look within and remember what makes me special going on a show like that. It was a lot.
I'm glad you said that because I feel like on my show specifically, like The Bachelor's not known for being pro-Black.
Yeah.
No.
Like,
not
that saying
fan base. The fan base of the Bachelor franchise is notoriously problematic.
Exactly. And I'm not saying it's better for other Black women on other reality TV shows. Like,
it's just different.
It's different. Yeah. But specifically for The Bachelor, like, and my season was the first Black Bachelor. So that's honestly the reason I went on. I would have never gone on The Bachelor with a white Bachelor, just saying. And then my whole cast was mostly women of color, like for the first time. So I was like very hopeful and excited about the whole thing. So I was like, things are changing. Things are looking up. I'm not going to be the only Black girl that gets to sit home on night one.
Yeah. And, or night two.
Yes. But then even within that, like the intricacies of blackness inside of that, it was like the colorism. Like I was the last monoracial black girl there, but everyone else that made it past me was mixed. So it's just like, it just goes from like to the whole thing of the closer to white you are, you know? And it was just, I mean, obviously he picked who he picked in the end also, but it's just very complex with the whole thing and with TV. I mean, I was really grateful that they did share my hair story because that was like a big part of my story and we both had shaved heads on our show.
Yeah.
And that's actually how we connected. So yeah, I was grateful for the moments that they did choose, but there's still a lot of work to do in that area.
I agree. Definitely agree. I like that they shared my hair story too.
Yeah.
So I was on Love Island. I didn't say that, but, and it was nice. They, production was super open. Like they did cast me because of my natural hair. I didn't think I was going to go on the show. So I shaved my head and then I got a call 3 hours later. So I think it was hard because to men on the show, they were like, cause like everyone on Love Island face, beat, wig, snatch. Like I didn't have eyebrows. I didn't know how to do my makeup. I shaved head. I was called Little Bill on Twitter. And I was just kind of like, damn, I see the resemblance. But I was like, it's just, there's so many different types of beautiful. Like I just chose the natural route, you know, and I'm still kind of more of a natural girl just because I don't know how to UK beat my makeup. You know how the UK girlies do it? Yes. It's just not what I'm used to. But it's just hard, you know, you just have to really love yourself.
Oh yeah. I mean, right before we were recording, we were talking about our hair, doing our hair, mm-hmm. the mental gymnastics as black women of like making our plans around when we do our hair. But then when you go on TV, on top of that, it adds this magnifying glass to amplify so many of the things we're already experiencing day to day.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I'm actually glad that my head was shaved when I was on the show because the amount of times we had to get ready.
Yep.
Like there's no way I would have been able to keep up with like the time frames I was supposed to be in, like the amount of time I would have had to get ready if I had a sew-in or if I had my natural hair, like no way.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been able to do these like outside scenes, jacuzzi, all the stuff.
Yeah.
I was literally thinking about this when I was there. I was like, thank God I don't have any hair because there's no way.
No they way. Wouldn't be understanding.
No. And I would be yeah. having a breakdown. I would have been crying every day.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
Would have been a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
There's nothing worse than wearing an amazing outfit but having uncomfortable shoes. Like when you want to be cute, but your feet are killing you and you can hardly move, it just throws off the whole vibe. It suddenly becomes a lot less cute. I'm all about comfort and style, and a great brand that combines both is Vionic Shoes. The Vionic Vitals collection from Vionic Shoes has the best essential styles for everyday wear to get you ready for the spring and summer when you're more likely to be on the go and want to be both comfortable and fashionable. I recently got the Uptown Loafer, which is the perfect in-between shoe if you want something more dressy than a sneaker and more comfortable and casual than a heel. It's so comfortable and is perfect for travel. I've worn it walking around all day in New York City, and it's also the perfect option when I want something a little dressier, but I know I'm going to be on my feet all day. I'm also a wide foot girly, and a lot of shoes are too narrow for me. I love that Vionic offers wide versions of all of their shoes, so they're comfortable for me too. The Uptown Loafer comes in 10 shades, so you can find the pair to perfectly suit your style, and it's designed to collapse flat for packing, so it doesn't take up much room in your suitcase. They have a bunch of other amazing styles too, like the Chardonnay heeled sandal for when you want a heel but don't want to compromise comfort, or the Walk 23 classic sneaker. If you want a dad sneaker, you can move in all day long, or the Willa slip-on flat. Finally, a cute pair of flats that offers good support. Use code BALANCEDLESS at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. One-time use only. Vionic Shoes, wearable well-being for your feet. Thanks to Nurx for sponsoring this podcast. Sometimes finding the care you need can be more difficult than it should be, whether it's getting the time off work to book an appointment or needing to be treated with privacy and care. Thankfully, Nurx is here to help. Nurx is a digital healthcare platform that makes it easy to get the expert healthcare you deserve at every step of your journey. Nurx's licensed medical providers possess in-depth knowledge and expertise in a range of common health concerns, helping patients find the right treatment options based on their preferences and health history. From birth control to wrinkles and dark spot treatment, Nurx understands women's healthcare journeys are unique and ever-changing. That's why Nurx provides comprehensive treatment so patients can receive ongoing, high-quality, integrated care in one practice. If you're looking for a convenient, private, and compassionate place to support your reproductive health, Nurx is there. It's not always easy to access things like birth control. Nurx provides reliable reproductive and sexual health care that's accessible right from home. No judgment or stigma attached. Skip the in-person appointment and complete a medical consultation at home anytime, and a Nurx provider licensed in your state will review your health history and, if medically appropriate, provide treatment for you. Thanks to Nurx for sponsoring this podcast. Taking control of your reproductive health starts here. Go to Nurx, Nurx.com/balancedless to get started. That's Nurx.com/BALANCEDLES. Results may vary. Not offered in every state. Medications prescribed only if clinically appropriate. Consultation required.
So you briefly touched on it for a second there. I want to talk more about your friendship origin story and how the two of you came to meet and become friends.
Yeah. Do you want to tell it? Should I tell it?
So I loved, past tense, loved The Bachelor, right? Even though, what?
Love the past
tense. You're going to say I loved Chelsea.
We're getting there. We're getting, oh no. Oh my God, no. I'm like, I hate her now.
Past tense. I want to clarify.
No, I used to like binge watch. Like I was in front, I sat whenever The Bachelor was on. And then of course, when it was like a Black Bachelor, I'm like, yes, girls. So me and my best friend, we were living together at the time. Like it was like a couple of years after college. Like we were so excited. Fell in love with Chelsea. Like I was like bald, tall, owning it. I was like, this is amazing. So we were sat in front of the TV glued, like rooting for her, creeping on her Instagram. Like even when you got off, like followed her. Then I went on Love Island, what, the next year?
Yeah, it was pretty soon after.
Yeah. And then I get off the show and my best friend was running my Instagram at the time. She's like, you will not believe who DM'd you. I was like, Beyonce, like Kim Kardashian. Like I was like, who? Like she was so excited. She goes, better. I was like, who? She was like, Chelsea. I was like, stop. Like I was freaking out because I was bald. And like, I always say like, there's so many Black women in reality TV that walked so I could run, you know? And Chelsea was one of those for me, especially going on bald. So I was like, they wouldn't even allow that to happen. And then just seeing her do it was amazing. So then.
Yes, then. So I had slid into her DMs because I watched her on Love Island. And that was the first USA season I watched. And I was obsessed with you. And I was like, oh my God. I posted about it and I was like, oh my God, I need to find this girl. She lives in New York. Like, I'm going to make her my friend. And my producer actually from Bachelor was her producer on Love Island.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my God, I know her. Like, I can connect you to whatever. But I didn't even need her because once I got off, you got off the show, you
sprinted
saw my DM.
To my DMs. I sprinted.
And then I was like, you never know when you DM somebody, like if they're really going to be like, yeah, let's hang out. And then, you know, and she really was like, no, tomorrow let's hang out.
I was so excited. I just wanted to pick her brain too, because like, getting off the show, finding a community within the reality TV community is so important, but it's so hard because a lot of people just have different motives and different goals. And I didn't really necessarily want the core of who I am or my life to change. I just wanted to elevate on that and then find my own space within this space. So I really wanted to pick Chelsea's brain, like, because even following her after the show, she still remained like who she seemed to be before, creeping on her Instagram prior, who she was on the show, and then seemed to still be who she was, hanging out with people that you were friends with for years after the show. Because a lot of reality TV people after the show don't hang out with anyone they were friends with prior. I'm like, that's so weird. My core people are still my core people to this day. So I was like, let's hang out tomorrow. I'm overwhelmed. I'm getting all these messages. All these types of people want to hang out and connect. Like, how do you keep sane? Because I'm like falling over. Like, what do we do? I don't want to become an alcoholic. Like, help me.
Yeah. So we went out to happy hour and we were there for like 6 hours.
It's funny. I was like, I don't want to become an alcoholic. We went to happy hour.
And then we hung out all night. We were like taking pictures. She was dancing. It was a time. And that was what, 3 years ago?
Yeah. That was 3 years ago.
So we've been besties ever since. Mm-hmm. And then we decided to start a podcast together and make it a fish.
Here we are.
I love it. But just that connecting over a shared experience that is such a unique one. Mm-hmm. And I just think that that's what like friendship goals are made of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very easy to get like swept up in the whole reality TV of it all. Like when you get off, like you just said, everyone's like reaching out. Everyone's trying to do everything, invite you to every single event. And I was like for a while in my little bachelor bubble, hanging out with all the girls from my season. And then it kind of just like slows down. And
it fizzles.
Sometimes you end up going on another show.
Sometimes, yep.
But yeah, no, I'm so grateful that I was able to connect with you of all people, but like all the people from the show, like the girls, the friendships are the best part of, I think, doing it, obviously. 100%. Since
it's not everyone gets the guy.
Yeah, not everyone gets the guy.
And but when you do get the guy, sometimes you lose the guy.
But we got each other. That's better.
Yeah. 1,000%. Oh, absolutely. I can't think of a more like unique shared experience to have than being on a show, like competing for the same person. It's going to build a unique friendship.
Unique is a good word for it.
I'm trying to be nice. Okay. So now we got to talk about the podcast because it was a bit of an evolution because it was, you had your podcast, yes. Vulnerable. Yeah. I was very honored to be on one of your later episodes before you transitioned. Can we talk more about the transition from Vulnerable to On the Sidewalk?
Yeah. So I had my podcast for a little bit over a year. And I mean, as you know, it's not easy to continue doing episode after episode as a solo host. And I had invited Cash on like 4 times. And every time Cash was on, I was like, I have so much fun. Like, not that I didn't have fun alone, but it was just like, I enjoyed our back and forth. Like, we have great chemistry together. I was like, I have so much, like, it's just so much better to bounce ideas off of someone, chit chat and laugh. And I was like, this is really what I want, like, a show to be for me. Like, it's cool speaking to the void alone. But after a while, you're like, okay, like, how much can I do here? How many topics can I do here? And I was just like, I really love Cash's energy. Like, I love how we work together. And so do the people. Like, she has her own separate Love Island fan base. And then I have Bachelor people. But it was like, I want us to create something together and then have people get to know us more this way. And yeah, and just create our own community together. So that's kind of how On the Sidewalk was born.
Yeah. It's weird because I don't even know if I fully explained this to you. I was journaling about this a couple of days ago, thinking about the podcast, because I like had my own hesitancies, as you know, but I think like I really got down to the core of it a couple of days ago. I, on the show, on Love Island especially, I gave so much of myself on that show. And a lot of what I gave was twisted and manipulated in some ways, right? Like, I date outside of my race sometimes. I can't have kids. Like, all these things I'm sharing to just show different parts of myself and show that there's a lot of different ways to do a lot of different things sometimes was twisted. So the idea of us doing a podcast together, I was so excited. But like the core of me was just kind of like, am I really going to have another space where I'm open and vulnerable and I share things? Like, is that going to be twisted again? But I think what like made it feel like a safe space, because so many of my fan base was like, have your own podcast. I'm like, I don't know when to shut up. Like, I don't know what is okay to share and what's not. So like,
that's true.
I feel like it was, it's so true. I'm like, edit that out every time we record. And she's like, maybe we should take that out. So I think like for me, when like how On the Sidewalk came to be and like when Chelsea's like, we should just do it together. I'm like, well, at least I have someone that really knows my heart, knows me, understands I have a big mouth to like reel it in. Like it's a safe space. So for me, it was a no brainer.
I think that's also why we're so good together because we just complement each other very well. Like I'm pretty like chill. Not that you're not direct and straightforward, but like you're a lot more, I don't even want to say personality, but like it's a bit of a bigger.
Yeah, I think I'm just like more like slapstick comedy type of person.
You're more animated. Yeah. You're more like, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like we balance each other very well because I am the one that's like, reel it in and you tell me sometimes like
I'm like let loose,
get a little, let's go crazy.
Yeah,
so it's a really good balance. And then I feel like I just feel like we're personally very relatable people because and the topics that we're talking about, like it's mostly dating,
sex,
relationships, like just living our lives as two Black women in our 20s and 30s, like very relatable content.
Yeah.
And also I just love the contrast of like me being such a lover girl that always wants to be in a relationship. And she's like, I'm terrified of commitment. I don't want anything to do with that.
Oh my God.
So it's like, no matter what kind of girly you are, if you come to On the Sidewalk, you can relate to what we're saying.
Yeah. And then to explain On the Sidewalk, of course.
Oh, yes, yeah. You have to. We need the different each category.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We need it all broken down.
Let's break it down. Because even on one of our later episodes, people are like, what does each thing mean? I was like, let me help you guys.
Yes.
So on Chelsea's podcast, Vulnerable, she asked me one day, like, where I was at in my dating story or like my journey. I was like, you know, I'm not like in the streets, but I feel like I'm on the sidewalk. And then we just made such a laugh and people just loved it. And people are like, I'm in a gated community. I'm on the porch. Like, it just became a huge thing. So that's like how our name came to be. But to break it down, if you're in the streets, you are hooking up, you're going on multiple dates, you're putting yourself out there, your phone is blowing up, you're sliding in DMs. Nothing wrong with me on the streets.
You outside.
You outside. If you're on the sidewalk, you're still outside. You know, you're open to going on dates. Maybe you have DMs, but they're not read. You know, you're responding to a few men. You have a date set up. Maybe you cancel. And then you go on the other one. You're on the sidewalk, which it makes sense.
You're streets adjacent.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think you should explain on the porch and in the house. As if I haven't been in the house in years, y'all.
No, I stay inside the house. If you're in the house, you're either booed up in a relationship or you want nothing to do with a relationship right now. You are happy and pleased with your own company. You're doing a 12-step skincare routine. You're doing an everything shower. You are inside. You're not leaving. You're cozy.
Mm-hmm.
And the porch is kind of like, you're peeking out.
Yeah.
You know, you want to see what's going on the sidewalk, in the streets. You like to look, but you're not participating. You're just looking. You're rocking back and forth in your rocking chair.
You're maybe flirting-ish. Like, you're giving a wave.
You wave, but
you're giving a like to a story here and there. You're wild.
Yeah, you're not stepping off the porch, though.
No.
But if you do, you'll join us on the sidewalk.
Come on.
Okay, wait. So where are each of you right now?
I would consider myself on the sidewalk.
I'm on the sidewalk.
Okay.
Yeah. And now that the weather's getting nice,
right,
you might find me falling into the streets, and, you know, but I always end back on the sidewalk. But I might be in the house soon.
Oh, that's news to me.
Wait, hold up. Yeah. Do tell
me. No, share with the class. This is a secret. See, this is.
She's playing, y'all. I have never seen her in the house since I've met her.
You don't know. I went on a date 2 days ago with the guy that I'm seeing. I haven't told you yet.
You didn't tell me.
We're in love.
Tell us now. Tell us now.
Let me chill. We're not in love, but I think I just recently met a guy that I haven't considered going in the house or on the porch in years. But I'm like, if I were, this is the type of man that I would go in the house for. And the house is crazy. I'd go on the porch.
So what are the qualities that make you be like, I'm considering the porch?
He's different. And that's so annoying to say, but I'm never shocked by a man ever. Like, I can pretty much predict what a man is going to say, what he's going to do, his motives. Like, this guy is like, even I'm sending her screenshots. I'm like, Chelsea literally said to me 2 days ago, she's like, if you don't like this man, do not waste his time because he's so pure. And I think that, like, he makes what he wants known. Also, he's 32. So for me, I'm 28. It makes sense for me to date someone a little bit older just because, I don't know, I just need someone who's been through some things. I need someone who can relate to me because I had, like, a life. Even though I'm only 28, I've done a lot of things. He's just interesting.
He's just doing everything that you would want a guy to do, like grown man behavior.
And it's terrifying me.
She's terrified. And I'm literally over here like, where's my husband? And of course, it's always the ones that don't want anybody that run into them at the airport.
I would love. Yeah, we ran into each other at the airport. So romantic. Comes up to me like, are you Cash? So then I put on my fan voice. I always say this, like, fan is gross. I don't like the word fans, but just supporters. Like, I'm always like, hi, how are you? Like, raise my register a little bit. Like, you know, I'm just like very intrigued in getting to know this person and making sure that, like, you know, meeting me is a pleasant experience, even if I'm not in the mood. So I booked a flight on the wrong day, wrong time, wrong month. So I just wasn't in the mood, right? So I had to, like, a little bit. And I thought he was going to be like, my girlfriend loves you, you know, because it's usually what happens when a man comes up to me. And instead, he was just kind of like, you're beautiful. I was like, oh my, are we flirting? So then I put on my normal voice. I said, I could chill. Then he's like, I'd love to take you to drinks. And that's kind of like what happened. And I was like, Chelsea, I would love... If it would have, I want you to meet somebody and then I can watch from the sidewalk. Why she goes in on the porch in the house, I want to watch those stages happen.
Okay, but for the first time, I got out of my relationship like 6 months ago now. Mm-hmm. For the first time, I'm actually like trying to date and just have fun with it, which I've never done in my 31 years of life somehow. I've never just like been dating and been like, okay, no pressure. I'm not looking for anything. I'm just doing this for the sport of it. That sounds weird. But like, I need more. No, I need more practice. I need to force myself to get out there because I haven't dated a lot at all. Like my first boyfriend was senior year of college. We were together for 5 years. We lived together. And then I got out of that, dated for a year maybe, and then went on The Bachelor. And then went on Paradise. And then went on Paradise again. And then... So then it's like all of a sudden I've somehow landed here and I haven't dated anybody. So that's right now I'm in the sidewalk. I could fall into the streets. You never know.
I hope I live to see the day.
We love a role reversal. Yeah. I love the switch up that's happening with you two.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we should say role reversal yet. I'm probably going to sabotage it and be like, I'm
don't
just not ready
that.
For this.
We're not going to speak that into existence.
We're going to, yes.
Let
we're
it
gonna
be. Try. Let it be what it is.
We're going to try. I just think he's so ready for a relationship. And it's terrifying me because I am nowhere near ready for a relationship. I just told you off camera, like I'm trying to figure out my living situation. Like I'm just not ready for a boyfriend. I don't even know what you do with one. I'm just not ready for that. So I think as long as he's patient, we could continue to get to know each other. But if he wants a relationship, I would just, you know, end it because I don't want to waste his time.
Right. And you've been honest.
Yes.
Like that's key.
Way too honest. I'm like, I don't want to date you. He's like, no, okay. We got it. You want to get dinner? Like, it's okay. I'm not proposing. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I have high hopes.
Yeah, we'll see.
Sometimes it's good for us to do things that scare us.
Yeah, definitely.
As annoying as that is.
Yeah. I think I do live by all the beautiful things happen outside of your comfort zone in every other aspect of my life.
To everybody else.
I tried it 2.5 years ago and I think I need another year or two before I'm ready for a relationship.
But at least you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know yourself.
Very well.
What about you? Are you in the sidewalk? Are you in the house?
That's a good question. Okay. So a lot of what you were saying, I could relate to a lot because I was basically in a series of relationships from 19 to 28.
Oh, wow.
Straight. Not the same person, but like across 4 different people during that whole time and then have not been since then. And I've gone through different eras of like dating a lot just for sport.
Right.
In the house, unbothered. I would say I am... somewhere between the porch and the sidewalk, like I'm checking the mail.
Driveway.
You know what I mean? I'm checking the mail and I'm seeing what's happening on the street and then probably going back to the porch.
Yeah.
Would be the best way to describe it.
Love it.
You know?
The driveway action. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I've also had a lot of experiences and I'm just, one, have quite possibly the lowest bullshit tolerance imaginable.
Yep.
Just like not really down with. Mm-hmm. And I'm just hard to impress. I'm very unimpressed by everything.
That's literally what I was saying. I was like, all I'm looking for is a guy to impress me. It's not happening. I can't find one.
So hard.
I'm just like, I'd rather be in my peaceful home. Mm. So peaceful there.
Yeah.
I would just rather be doing things that I actually enjoy. And I would love to do things that I enjoy with a person that I enjoy.
Right.
But I can't sit through another painful drink when I don't even like to drink, when I could be doing things with my friends or doing things by myself that I actually enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is like why I do not want to sabotage this because I have not been impressed in almost 3 years. And even before that, like I was barely impressed with the guy I dated while I was on Love Island. Like it was just, we were in a bubble and I was like, the producers are making it rain and stuff. I'm like, maybe this is love. Like, I don't know. Like he was, you know, rose colored glasses. So I'm just like, I should probably edit that out. Don't, it's fine.
Like, it's not our podcast.
I'm like, I don't care. Anyways. But so it's one of those things where it's like, I'm also very hard to impress. So yeah, it's hard when you're dating.
Yeah. It's hard out here. We're three very independent, strong women that know what we want and aren't willing to settle until we find that. So,
period.
Impress us, damn. Where y'all at?
Arguing.
Yeah.
Had been my experience. Yeah.
God.
Ew. Can't relate.
No.
Yeah. I wouldn't even argue with a man. I just want to
No,
talk to
I don't
again.
Either. They're arguing with themselves.
And that's it.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to argue for a second.
You really do be. I'm like, Chelsea, don't respond. Like, she's like, I got to say this.
I can't
like,
help it. I can't help it. I'm petty.
Men are like, oh, so you're not just going to text me back. And I still don't text back. Right. So, wow. I'm like,
right.
You are having a whole conversation alone.
By yourself.
Like, I'm chilling.
It's you and you.
Yeah.
I'm getting better at that.
In today's episode, we're talking all about dating experiences, and let's be real, pleasure should be a big part of the conversation. And when it comes to enhancing women's pleasure, no one does it better than Foria. I love Foria's massage oil, formulated with organic botanicals. It's designed to help you get in the mood and make touch feel even better. It feels incredible on the skin. It's quick absorbing, desire enhancing. It boosts relaxation and helps create connection. Now, I also can't talk about how amazing Foria is without talking about the first product I ever tried from them, the Awaken Arousal Oil. It's like a juicy warm-up that really helps get things going, increasing your pleasure. Awaken uses CBD and sensation-inducing organic botanicals to enhance sensitivity and pleasure, and it feels amazing. So here's how you use them together. You're going to apply some Awaken and give it a few minutes to warm up and do its thing. While that's working, you're going to grab the massage oil, work it into the skin, and by the time the massage is over, everybody is ready to go. Foria is committed to closing the pleasure gap and has a serious cult following for a good reason. If you're ready to fully unlock your pleasure, give it a try. So yes, you have my permission to try this. I fully endorse you go ahead and treat yourself or your partner. Experience your juiciest and deepest sensual experience with a bottle of Foria. Foria is offering a special deal for our listeners. Get 20% off your first order by visiting foriawellness.com/balanced or use the code balanced at checkout. That's F-O-R-I-A wellness.com/balanced with a D for 20% off your first order. Again, I recommend trying their new massage oil combined with the Awaken Arousal Oil, and you can thank me later. I'm so excited to share with you all an incredible scientific breakthrough to support your long-term health and wellness. C15 is the first essential fatty acid to be discovered in 90 years. And get this, studies have confirmed it is 3 times better, broader, and safer than omega-3. Now, I know every time I go for a checkup, my doctor asks if I'm getting in my omega-3s, but how amazing is it that we now have access to something even better with fatty 15? It's pretty simple. Essential nutrients keep our cells healthy. When our cells are healthy, we're healthy. And if we want to get more sciencey about it, studies show that C15 works by strengthening our cells, improving mitochondrial function, and protecting us against damaging free radicals. The result is better long-term metabolic, liver, and heart health. Many of us are deficient in C15, which could result in weaker cells. When our cells are weak, they make less energy and quit working earlier than they should. All of this contributes to aging faster, feeling sluggish, and sleeping poorly. Have you experienced any of those things? I know I have. Fatty 15 is a science-backed, award-winning, vegan-friendly, and pure C15 supplement. By replenishing our cells with essential C15, Fatty 15 helps repair our cells to restore long-term health. I love how easy Fatty 15 is to take. The capsules are tiny and they're vegan friendly, free of flavors, allergens, and preservatives, and they're also so easy to travel with. Plus, it comes in a beautiful reusable glass and bamboo jar, and refill capsules are shipped to your door quarterly in pouches made from recycled materials. Fatty 15 is on a mission to replenish your C15 levels and restore your long-term health. You can get an additional 15% off their 90-day subscription starter kit by going to fatty15.com/balancedless, spelled L-E-S, and using code balancedless at checkout.
So Chelsea, you've also had this goal to do your one date a week.
Yeah.
How has that been going?
Okay. So we decided this together on our pod.
Well, I regret it.
So I roped her into it. I was like, I want to do one date a week. You're coming with me, like it or not. And she's been participating, but it's hard to find the one a week. I'm not going to lie. Like, not saying I can't.
Well,
I'm not saying I can't find a date.
A date that you want to go on every week is hard.
It's difficult to find this quality of person that I'm looking for and then be like, okay, this one looks interesting and worth leaving my house for. Like you just said, I could be out with my friends on a Friday night. Like if I'm going to give my time to you, I need it to be at least have some potential. Mm. So far I've done 3, which is pretty
good. That's
good. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm proud of that. And one of them I was impressed by.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Share with the class.
Okay. We're
more.
Supposed to go on a second date.
So excited for this man.
So he's my type. My type is tall, dark, and handsome. Yeah, he's tall. He's mid-30s. He's dark skin, chocolatey. Love that. Great smile. So well-dressed, which really impressed me because that's a rare find. Very well-traveled, like used to live in Europe for 15 years and came to New York a couple years ago. Super into his family, like goes to hang out with his niece and nephew every Sunday. We had a lot in common. He was funny. Yeah. And it was a quick drink, like an hour and a half, almost 2 hours. And it was the perfect length of time. And then it was enough to be like, okay, I'd like to see him again. And he texted and he wants to see me again. So things are looking up.
Things are looking up.
We shall see what happens. But yeah, I actually was impressed by him.
We'd love to see it.
Yeah. Shocking.
Absolutely. After only three tries.
Well, yeah.
There was some ones that fell through the cracks.
Oh. There was some ones where I was just, like you said, sitting there bored and just a painful suffering through a drink where I was like, oh my God.
Or even the time before, like the date didn't even happen because some of them were just.
Yeah. I've been ghosted before the date even happens. And then
that happens to me all the time.
On the date, I was so bored and I was just like, oh my God, this is what it is out here. Mm-hmm. This is what everyone's talking about the dating apps being trash. Because I can meet people in person, but I don't know where people are doing that besides the airport.
I meet everyone in person.
Yeah.
We got on Bumble. We're like, let's make Bumble accounts and then we'll like just put ourselves out there. I do not do well via like dating app or Instagram. Like it's just not like I'm very blunt via text. Like sometimes I don't use emojis and my words like hit like daggers and I don't mean it to. So I think like if a guy says something and it's bullshit or I just call it out and they're like, okay, she's too much. I'm like, well, maybe I am. So it's like,
glad we're all on the same page.
Yeah. But in person, I have a little bit of a warmer demeanor while my words are hitting like daggers. So
it's the smile.
Yeah. I have a big bright smile, but I'm like, I'm on to your bullshit, you know? So it's just different. So for me, like I met airport guy and then, but it helps because he watched my show. So he knows that I'm like actually like a lover girl deep, deep down. But then the other guy, I was like, Chelsea, I'm going with my gay best friend. We're going to look for guys for Foreplay, a series that we're doing in our podcast where we date live. I was out and the bartender, gorgeous. His name was Sebastian. And so I'm a dancer. So they're playing bachata. I'm like dancing and I do a spin and this man like spins into my spin and dips me like a movie. Like it's literally like every time I meet a man, it's like a movie. I'm not even kidding. It's just
can't relate.
I know. Girl, share the plot. With those of us who need help. I don't know what it is. I think I just like will do whatever I want when I want without worrying about what I look like. And I think that draws men in.
Totally.
Like I have such a free, carefree spirit. And I don't really care if a man's around, you know? So I think that what's what draws guys in. He's like, she doesn't want anything to do with me. I love her. So that's usually what happens. So I was dancing and I'm just minding my business. And obviously this man is gorgeous. So everyone in the bar, including my gay best friend, they're like, oh my God. And I'm like, no, he's cute, but like, whatever. You know, it's like, I see beautiful men all the time. And I think that was just really fun. And then we're going out salsa dancing.
Oh, you are going out with him?
Yeah, should I not? Yeah. Because I'm talking to the guy.
No, I don't know.
Go for the plot.
Yeah.
Go for the plot.
Go out with him,
please.
You're not
married? Yeah. She's like, go out with anybody. Like, just go outside. Like, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm curious if being on reality TV dating shows has changed your perception of dating in real life and how so. I feel like we have very different experiences because of Bachelor and Love Island.
Yeah.
Because Love Island, I feel like, I mean, I wasn't on The Bachelor, obviously, but The Bachelor gives like, creates these beautiful dates and these beautiful moments. And I think Love Island is more realistic dating, but on an island in a small, like obviously they create dates, but they're not anywhere near Bachelor, like your favorite country artist singing, you're standing on a platform slow dancing. It's just not that like. They'll give us two warm drinks and sit us on like in a table and say date.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's more like real life. And then it's like when they're bringing in new people every week, it's real. Like it's like the person that you're dating is always going to have options. They're always going to meet new people. They're going to be different than you. Some will be better looking. Some will have different personalities. Like it's very much real, it, as real can be through reality TV. But I think the way it's changed for me is just I would... Prior to going on Love Island, I would love to see the best in people, right? So I call it, like, obviously rose-colored glasses. You really have rose-colored glasses on Love Island because you don't know their social media, how they are with their friends, how they carry themselves. So you're choosing to see the very best in these people, and also that's what they're presenting. So I think now, like, after leaving Love Island, I just do a little bit more research, right? So I don't choose to see Bob the Builder. I don't choose to see the best in people. We were saying, like, before, it's like you meet someone and you're like, they have good bones.
Like, you know, like
potential.
They have such good potential. Like maybe I could just, and if I just refuse,
no,
refuse. And that was, I loved like 22, 23. I'm like, but he's so fun. Like, yeah, he can't dress and he lives at home with his mom and he doesn't really have a lot of ambition, but he's really good at guitar. Maybe he could be a star one day. Like, it's just one of those things. I'm too old for that, you know? So going on the show at 24, like it was just, it was a nice thing to be like, stop with the rose colored glasses, you know? So it's changed. That's how it changed for me.
That's good timing. It kind of coincides with like frontal lobe development, decision making right around that time in your life to have that experience.
Yeah.
1,000%.
I think you're right about the shows being very different. Yours is very much more like real life dating. Bachelor is this whole built up fantasy world where like you're looking for the love of your life. You're going to get engaged at the end of it. Like you go on these fantasy dates, like you said. I wouldn't say being on that changed my perception of dating in real life because that's not real life at all. Mm-hmm. And I think when you get out of that world, when you're in it, it feels very real to you. But once you're out, you're like, that wasn't real life. So they're not really related in my mind to me. But what I will say is it changed me as a person. Mm. Like just being on the show and being in that environment and going through all of that. I was extremely closed off before, very guarded, walls up to Fort Knox or whatever. And it forces you to like crack open and be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Like you literally don't have a choice. And I wasn't even falling in love with the guy. Like I didn't even make it that far. I didn't even go on a one-on-one date. So it wasn't even like I made it far enough to be like that vulnerable, but still, you still have to talk about your feelings every single day. You have to think about, there's nothing else to think about there except for your feelings and like the guy, whatever. So that, and then coming off and having to think about all of that and thinking about like, how I view dating, how I view love, how I view sex, like all of these things. And then talking about all of that in therapy and getting a different perspective. Like that has all changed me in the way that I show up in dating now. And I think changed for the better. Mm-hmm. I needed to take a little of that guard down. And that's softened me for the better, I think. Mm. And that was another reason I even wanted to start a podcast in the first place, because I was like, now that I feel like I've gotten to a little softer place, I was like, I want to share that with people. Like it's powerful to be vulnerable. And I think that's how I show up, and I try to show up more in dating now too. We both fell in love on reality TV. Like yeah. I said, I wasn't falling in love with the guy. I was talking about Bachelor. I fell in love later on a spinoff show. But yeah, it's just very interesting to do that there. And then you realize, like that's part of the reason me and my ex broke up is because we fell in love in this world that isn't real. And then we went to the real world and there were things that you didn't have to think about or deal with when you're in Bachelor world that we had to deal with. And it was hard. Like it's a hard transition. And that's why a lot of couples break up when they leave the show, because it's just not realistic.
I can relate to what you said. It's weird because it's like I softened as a person, but hardened towards relationships because me falling in love on reality TV and then getting off, I was in a very public relationship. We were so loved and people kind of like put us on a pedestal, even though we were real people with real life problems and, you know, like navigating a relationship like anyone else would, you know, but people had this like glorified idea of us. And when we broke up, it was just so much hate, but it's always towards the woman, it seems. Like, so they were just kind of like, you let a good black man go. I'm like, you don't know what happened. Like, you have no idea, you know? It was just a lot of just like, wow, like I believed in you. And like, it was crazy. There was one woman, she was beating cancer, trying to beat cancer. And she was in the hospital. And she wrote a letter to me and emailed me and sent a package to my PR box and said, we were the reasons why she was getting better. And then she said, because we broke up, she didn't know if she was going to be able to beat cancer. So that's how much pressure that was put on us. Oh, it was crazy. And I remember crying and I was talking to my therapist about it. And she's like, these people's problems has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
Like, why are you taking on the burden of all these people and what they want your love life and your relationship to be? And I was like, what the fuck am I?
No, but like, it does feel like that.
It was heavy.
People feel very entitled to your relationship, your life, everything after they watch you on a show, because to you, like to them, you're a character. Like they watched us on a show. We were a character in their favorite show. They felt like they got to know, especially Love Island. Mm. Like, they show you guys so much in so many episodes that it feels really like you get to know the person.
Yeah.
And so they feel like this weird sense of entitlement over it and then over your relationship. And it's like, this is a real, we're real people. This is a real relationship. Like real things are happening here that you don't know about.
And so you're never going to share it.
Yeah. So it's a very strange like parasocial relationship situation.
Yeah. When we were fighting, they sent us a care package of like a spa day. Like it was a bunch of fans that got together and they put all their like Instagram ads. There was 12 of them. Sent a care pack, got us matching shoes, a spa day. Because we like were fighting and it was clear that we were fighting. We weren't like fighting publicly, but we just haven't posted each other in a while. You know, weren't liking each other's pictures. You know how it goes. And they were like, here's a spa day. We all got together and put our money together. I'm like, a spa day is not going to fix some relationship issues. You know, we're not going to get a massage and be like, it's you. You know, it's just, it's a lot of pressure.
But also that's crazy.
Crazy. There were like sex toys in there and stuff. I was like, what is going on? It was a lot. It was a lot.
This episode is sponsored by Delta Airlines. Picture this. You are just wrapping up the trip of your dreams. Maybe you had an amazing vacation and are so relaxed, or you had a super productive work trip and you are feeling great about everything you got done. And now it's time to head home. How do you want your flight home to feel? For me, I want my trips home to be comfortable and memorable in a good way, which is why I fly Delta Airlines whenever I can. When you're on a Delta Airlines flight, you can just feel the difference. It's an elevated flying experience from start to finish. Whether it's watching your favorite movie or TV show in the air, browsing fast and free Wi-Fi, or enjoying great food and drinks on your flight, Delta Airlines helps you feel at home before you get there. As a SkyMiles member, I have to put a pin in that fast and free Wi-Fi and really emphasize it. I love that I can connect to Wi-Fi on Delta Airlines flights. It's one of my favorite benefits because I can easily get work done or I can stay connected to what's happening on the ground. Delta Airlines customer service is also unmatched between offering curated travel experiences created just for you and welcome and caring service. Delta Airlines offers everything you need to fly comfortably and be your best self in the air. Last year, I spent a ton of time traveling and I booked Delta Airlines for almost every flight. While I was on the move, they helped me feel more at home while I traveled, and I loved that they offer flights to every destination I want to visit. Delta Airlines believes you should feel at home even if you're 30,000 feet above it. Learn more at delta.com. We're going to take a quick pause from today's episode sponsored by Nike. Now, this would be a good time to take a little wellness break. You can refill your water bottle, you can get up and stretch, or grab a snack. Like we take breaks periodically throughout the episode, it's important for you to take breaks throughout your day to replenish yourself. Whether you do that by going for a walk, working out, or grabbing coffee with a friend, your comfort matters. And when I'm doing all of those activities I just listed, I'm usually wearing the Nike Indie Bra and Universa Legging because they're comfortable, cute, and super supportive. The Indie Bra is iconic and now comes in three different support levels, low, medium, and high, to best suit how you choose to move. Essentially, there is an Indie variation that can support you throughout your entire day. The Indie is made from soft material that fits well, is so flattering, and is designed to move with you throughout the day so you can move freely. And we cannot forget about the Nike Universa Legging. I love leggings that are smooth, stay in place, and are ready for any kind of movement. And for me, the Universa is the pair I reach for just about everything. Whether I'm running errands or heading to the gym, I know the Universa has me covered. Find your feel with Nike bras and leggings that deliver supportive flexibility and comfort for whatever your day brings. Shop now at Nike.com.
I do think that people feel so invested, almost more invested in like the lives and events of other people who they watch and feel this connection to than what's happening in their own lives. Yeah. And like the attention and care that they probably should be giving to their own lives and relationships, they're putting in that care package and sending.
Agree.
And it is like very intense, I'm sure, to be on the receiving end of that.
Yes. Yeah.
It's very much like escapism, I think. Yeah. Reality TV is. And maybe that's why you're like not into it, or maybe you use something else to escape. But like, I like to watch reality TV because I can turn my brain off and just like watch something and not think about anything. Like, it's just like for an hour, I'm watching random ass people in bikinis make out on the beach. Yeah. It's just, also, I'm so obsessed with like all love shows. Like I don't watch reality TV like Housewives or like, I don't know, cooking shows. Like I only watch the love shows, like Bachelor, Love Island, Married at First Sight, like all of those. I'm into that. So I just like to see people in the relationship aspect of it. I find that interesting. However, I have never been so invested in a reality show that I'm like messaging the contestants on it and like acting like I know them.
Yeah.
Like, even before TV. Because mm-hmm. I was never that invested to where I'm like, let me see what they're doing on a Saturday. And shout outs to people that are invested in me. I love you guys. Appreciate that. But I literally film blogs of me like going to Target. And I'm like, who wants to watch this? And apparently people do. People love YouTubers.
Love it.
They do. And that's great.
Yeah. I've never been into YouTube like that either, but people are literally obsessed with
it. And maybe it's also like an age thing. I think that does tend to be like Gen Z, like younger people also tend to, you know, put more into that. But obviously, I think just like the wellness big sister in me is like, pour into yourself.
Yeah, I get that. I love reality TV because like for me, I went to acting school. I'm an actor. So when I watch normal shows, like I'm constantly like, okay, breath work. Okay, like how did they switch from that scene to that scene? So I can't watch movies or TV like scripted the way that everyone else does. So I love reality TV in that sense. Like there's just certain things I just don't connect to anymore. Like just with growing and such, but Love Island, I don't connect to as much anymore because I was on the show. So like the like enjoyment of it is kind of gone. It was traumatic for me. But there's like certain shit like Love is Blind, freaking hilarious. I'm like, y'all need therapy. It's just so fun to watch. But then the negative side of it, like when it comes to not relating to how certain people are with it, the projection is crazy. And I think a lot of people loving me and my ex is because of a lot of projection was on that. Like one woman was like, it's just crazy DMs I've gotten. If you support me, I love you so much. But there is a lot of just, there's a dark side to it. A woman DM'd me and she's a Black woman. Her husband was Black. They got a divorce. And she said our story reminded her a lot of the good times of her and her ex-husband. She's like, fight forward. And these are the things that you can do. And I'm like, but we are not you and Edward. Like, that's not, it's just different, you know? But then there's also a lot of Black women that would project negatively in the sense of like, you're not doing enough to keep a Black man because they feel like they don't do enough to get the attention of a Black man. It's just, it was a lot of projection. So when you say pour into yourself, I'm like, sweetheart, like instead of trying to dictate my dating life or what I'm doing wrong as a Black woman or what you feel, just change yourself, you know, like pour into yourself. So I agree with you in that sense.
Yeah. I do feel like there is a beautiful side to it though, because as silly and stupid and whatever as reality TV is, like, the messages that I got when I got off the show, like just about how, like, especially from the Black women, like I've never seen someone with a shaved head. Like I've never seen even like tall women. They're like, you're 6 feet. And like you being on the show meant a lot to me. Yeah. Like just being like, I can see myself in you and the show. And it made a difference in my life. Like there are people that sent me pictures and videos of them shaving their head because they saw me. So they felt confident enough to do it. Mm-hmm. Like that is truly so beautiful. And I'm like, that's something that's like, we made a difference in people's lives.
Absolutely.
Like as stupid as reality TV is, like that is a beautiful part of it.
I love that you said that because the messages that I've shared so much on Love Island. Like I was told when I was 20 that I can't have kids. So there was a lot of messages of women going through IVF and they're like, you sharing your story and being so open. Like there's a lot of reasons why I am hardened towards dating, but being 28 and like going on a date and then the subject of kids eventually comes up and it's always just scary. And I shared that on my show and then just going on shaved head. And like, it was my first time even being in a room full of men with my shaved head. I shaved my head and then I was shipped off to Love Island 2 weeks later. So I didn't go out. I was packing. I was getting ready. So everyone was seeing all that live, like figuring out how to brush my hair, figuring out how to tie a durag. Like it was like, I took everyone on that journey with me. So even now, like the fan base that I have, it's like, they're just seeing me still experiment with my hair, still learn how to put on makeup. So I love that you like switched to like the positive side of us going on reality TV, because the community that we've built is like literally a lot of people look at us as like sisters and best friends. And it's so nice, like in that way.
Yeah. And it actually blows my mind too. Mm-hmm. And then they've been through everything with me over the past 4 years, all my evolutions in and out of my relationships, breakups, dating, bleached hair, braids, like all of it. So if that's just like really cool thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like they get to grow up with you in a way, which is really endearing.
Yeah. Very sweet.
Yeah. And I'm sure kind of a unique experience when you come into a platform in that way versus in some of the other ways, because I think when people kind of create platforms in other ways, they can create a more curated image of themselves. Mm-hmm. And that's what people connect to, versus when people do get to see you in that space, that's a little bit more raw and more vulnerable, where you don't have control over how you're being perceived or presented.
Totally.
It just leads to a different connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I do love that with reality TV, like even in the moments where my journey was, I wouldn't use the word ugly, but just my most vulnerable, which I'm not used to seeing. So Love Island, obviously there was a lot of just me being vulnerable and like who I am, right? And like the things that I go through. But then I went on the challenge right after, and it was very soon after my breakup. And I was on that show with my ex-boyfriend. So it was like the like rawest version of me. It was my first real heartbreak. And I look at that show, and I used to look at it and just be so embarrassed. I was crying. I was a wreck. I was just like, I couldn't control my emotions. Like I was going through the healing process on national television. And it was also like a fitness show. So it was just like, it was a lot. It wasn't a love show. But then here I am crying on TV over a man. I was so upset. And it took, like, I was going to therapy twice a week when I got off that show because I was so embarrassed. And I didn't know how to forgive myself and just like understand that that was my truth at the time. But I think going through that and still having people be like, it's okay. Like, this is normal. Cause I didn't think it was normal. Like, I remember calling my brother and I was like, something's wrong with like my heart. Like, I feel like I'm like having like a heart attack. And he's like, that's a broken heart. I'm like, ew, you know, but it really did humble me because I remember like my friends talking about like their broken hearts. I'm like, girl, take a bath. Like, it's really not that. I just could not relate.
The Capricorn in you.
The Capricorn in me was like,
get over it.
Get over it. Because I've never been that. Like, I've had like hurt from a man or what I thought was a heartbreak. But then that one heartbreak that gets
you. That first one, because it's the first time you've ever felt like that. You do literally feel like you're dying. You're like, what is this? Versus if you get your heart broken after that, it still can hurt just as much. But you're like, oh, I've been through this and survived. But the first time where you've never experienced it and you've never been on the other side, you're like, oh, my God, this is the most painful thing ever.
And then to do that live.
Yeah.
Right. Was crazy.
I remember my best friend in high school telling me that she had physical pain, like physical heartbreak. And I was like, that seems dramatic.
Right. Right. I'm like, girl.
No, it's real. And then my heart was broken and I was like, I have chest pain. I'm having a heart attack.
I can't breathe.
Oh my God. Yeah.
It's so bad. It's so bad. But I love that, like, I can click play, right? And like understand where I am now as a woman in my life and in my dating journey. Yes, I'm not fully open. But like just where I am now, I look back at that girl and I'm like, you gonna be all right. You know, I just didn't seem like that at that time though.
Yeah. It's very like zoomed in when you're in it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And still so young, like still so much more to learn from and grow from. And
yeah, there will be others probably.
Others what?
Other like heartbreaks. And stuff.
Oh my gosh. I thought you were saying other reality shows.
Girl, no, retired. I'm retired.
She's like, got one in the pipeline.
I'm retired.
I feel like I could do like a competition show for money. I think that would be fun. Mm-hmm. Like one that's like a real mind game where you have to figure things out and like maybe some physical things.
Yeah.
Like I've said, I would love to go on the challenge, but never a love show again.
Never.
Yeah.
The challenge was fun because I'm really underestimated in my life. Because since I am so like animated and silly and I'm always joking, people are like, she has no idea what's going on. So when I was on the show, people would like talk game or like in front of me or like their plans of what they're going to do. She's like, she has no idea. So I'm like, and actually I'm like tuned in, you know? Right. So it was so dope. Like, so going on like a mind show was like cool. And then doing that again, like if I got bored enough, maybe, but like, it was just so nice because being underestimated, I used to be like, what everyone look at. Now I'm like, oh my God, it's a superpower. So in that way, like, I feel like if you did go on to mine, you'd probably be perfect. Because we'd be like, she's so quiet. She has no idea what's going on. She doesn't care. And little do you know, you're picking up everything and then you'd win $1 million. Like, easy. Because of who you are, you know?
Thank you. Gassing me up. My whole life, I felt like being quiet and being more of a reserved person was a bad thing. It's not helpful when it comes to dating. It's not helpful socially. It's not helpful on social media. Like, I've struggled in every area just because I'm more reserved. It's never been a good thing. So if I could find an area where it is a good thing.
I think that's such like a good thing.
Oh, every day.
That's crazy. Yeah. I have learned to be more of someone who can, like, should observe, right? And takes a second because I'm so silly. I'm like, what? So the moments, like, now adding that into my personality, it really is a superpower. Like, there's nothing wrong. Like, also, I just met you, obviously, like, literally an hour ago when I walked in. you being reserved, like you are somebody that when you walk into a room, you are noticed. So it doesn't matter that you're like reserved and a little bit more quiet and standoffish. Like if you were somebody that like just like blended in, it would be an issue. But because like you're so beautiful, you have such a powerful energy, like you walk in and you are a statement. So it doesn't matter that you're not like chatty or big personality, because like who you are is enough, you know? And I mean that wholeheartedly. Like you are stunning, obviously beautifully in your face, but like who you are, like you have such an aura. So you don't need to be anything more than what you are. Give yourself grace, seriously.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I also feel like there's so much power in like being quieter. Mm-hmm. Like, because even the way you speak, like, and I told you this before, but like the way you talk, your voice, like the pauses that you take, it makes people like lean in.
Mm. Every time.
Yeah. It's very powerful.
Yes. Yeah. You are literally so dope. Like that's so crazy that you have any of you. I mean, we all have things, right?
I know,
but it's so funny when not funny, because oh my God, it's not funny. But no, it's so like giggly when you hear giggly is still not right. It is so insert word when yeah. someone's like, I don't really love this or this makes me feel weird. I'm like, what? That's so like it's crazy.
I know. If only we could all see ourselves from the outside.
Yeah.
Just once.
Yeah.
It's true. Well, you kind of have gotten to, at least from the perspective of being on those shows, as a way of seeing yourself from the outside.
It's not always kind a good of. Thing.
Well, very manipulated versions That's by other people.
Very true.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can happily say that Love Island wasn't really manipulated. It was who I was, you know, like I think it just helps because the producers really liked me, too. So they didn't really you can't really manipulate who I am. Like I say exactly what I mean. And I mean what I say. And then reality shows, like you'll say something and then people be like, I didn't say that. And then they run the tapes back. And then, no, I said it. And I usually say it to that person mm-hmm. before I say it in a different room. So it's like really nice in that way. But yeah, it's crazy that we get to hit play and see our different moments on a show.
I think what people don't think about, maybe more so relevant for Bachelor, is what they leave out.
And that's, yep.
You can tell an entirely different story. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I said what I said, but you left a lot of parts of the story out to make a different picture. So it's like that. That is the difference, I feel like. And I can't even watch reality TV the same anymore.
Either. I agree. Especially if like there's a scene of a woman crying, right? And they're like, oh my God, she's so emotional. Okay, but how do you think she started crying?
What happened?
Like something happened. That.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And pro tip, guys, if you don't see it come out of their lips and you just hear the words and they're playing a different scene, usually they took that from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Soundbite.
Yeah.
The tricks.
Yeah.
Well, kind of like bringing us back home, I think what I love so much about what you two are doing in your show is you being able to take back that narrative and have more control over it, to tell your stories in your own words, putting in how much you want to put in, taking out how much you want to take out, but just having ownership over your story, which is just a beautiful thing. I'm really proud of you guys.
Aww, thank you.
I love that exciting. You said that. That is exactly what we were thinking too. Like, it's so nice to have, like, to take back the narrative of like, there's certain things that people thought about you or me. And it's like, now you can hear it from the source, from our mouths, like get to know us besides the love version of us or whatever version you think. Like, there's so much more to us than what you saw on reality TV.
Yeah. And I think just having long form content in general, you get to connect with the people that watch. Like the diehards of our podcast are like very different, way more, know us way more intimately than like someone who's a diehard of our shows.
1,000%.
Like you really get to truly know our personalities and we're talking for an hour to you every week. Like it's very intimate and intent. And I love that we can now build our own little sidewalk community.
Yeah. Bringing folks on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
I'm on the side. Whether you're on the streets,
on the sidewalk,
we're in the house, you're welcome in our podcast. Yes. Like, come hang out.
Please let people know where they can find the podcast, where they can find you when your episodes come out.
Yes. So at On the Sidewalk Pod is our handle on everything, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram. Mm-hmm. And then our episodes come out every single Monday.
Yes.
And me, I'm at Chelsea Vaughn.
And I'm at Cache Proudfoot.
Amazing. It's such a good show. It's such a fun way to kiki and start the week. We'll also make sure we have all your info linked in the show notes to make it easy for everyone to find you. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Gosh, I loved having you. This was so much fun.
Yay.
Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode. If you enjoyed it, please make sure you leave us a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify. We're 5-star girlies. I'm trying to offer a 5-star experience. Also, make sure you're subscribed on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, wherever you get the things. And I will see you next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.